Second Peter chapter 3. We want to read the last two verses, verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, your faithfulness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in so doing, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I want to preach a message entitled, Are We Growing? You know, every week I try to prepare a message that I believe that God's people need to hear. And usually about Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll begin to really seek the Lord and try to think about what to preach on. And there are times that it's a real struggle for me to know what to preach on any given Sunday. This week, as I struggled to prepare my Sunday morning sermon, I always try to think, what do our people need? But then the Holy Spirit, in really conviction of my heart, said, what do you need? What do you need? And as I began to reflect and meditate on the Word of God, I came to the conclusion that perhaps one of the greatest needs in my life was genuine spiritual growth as a child of God. Our text contains a warning against backsliding as well as a command to grow, which means that there's a responsibility on our part to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as I thought about these verses, I came to the conclusion that you're never going to grow in grace as long as your love for Christ and the things of God is in a state of declension. You're not going to go forward as long as you're going backwards. That makes good sense, doesn't it? But it's so true in the spiritual realm. And it's not enough just to hold your own, to be stationary. The Christian life oftentimes is characterized by walking in the light as He is in the light, abiding in Him. These are all verbs that indicate action, progress. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be the desire of every one of our hearts today, if we're saved by the grace of God. It's natural for living things to grow. This message really is not intended for lost people. Something that's dead can't grow. But if spiritual life has been imparted to you by the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit, and Christ is precious to your soul, then you ought to want to grow in Him. Wherever there's life, there should be a measure of growth. It would alarm us if our children would suddenly stop eating and growing, wouldn't it? I'll never forget when Aaron was just a baby, and we'd keep taking him to the doctor for checkups, and the doctor every time would say, "And I have no idea what this means." Well, we got to keep an eye on him. He's on the fifth percentile in growth. Well, you know, what do I know? I'm a Baptist preacher. I was a meat cutter. What's that mean to me, fifth percentile? All I could see is the little fellow wasn't growing very much. You know, every time I'd take him back, yeah, he's still in the fifth percentile. Man, finally, I asked the pediatrician, I said, "Something's really bothering me, this fifth percentile stuff. Is this kid a midget?" I said, "Is he going to grow?" And she said, "Don't worry, he'll grow," and he has grown. But you know, you get alarmed if your children aren't growing, if they don't have an appetite. And you know, that's the way with the children of God. There should be a sincere desire for the Word of God that we can grow and learn and abound in the work of the Lord. It should alarm us when we, as children of God, are not earnestly obeying the commands that are contained in our text. On the one hand, be careful, beware that you don't fall from your steadfastness and get backslidden and out of sorts and out of fellowship and apathetic and unconcerned and cold. And on the other, grow in the grace and knowledge. And so I ask you to examine your spiritual life this morning and answer this question personally. Am I growing as a Christian? Am I learning more about God's grace, and am I demonstrating it in my life? Well, you know what? This question that I've posed to you this morning requires self-examination, doesn't it? In order to answer the question that I've posed, you need to take an earnest and honest look at your spiritual life if you're going to come up with an answer. And that is especially difficult to do. Who likes going to the doctor? This morning, Nancy, I've been having trouble with my ears. I get dizzy sometimes, and I just don't walk straight, and I break out in a cold sweat, and my stomach gets upset. Every once in a while, she said, "Well, are you going to go to a specialist?" I said, "Nah." She said, "Well, you ought to go." I said, I hate going to doctors. And you know what? That's the way it is with us a lot of times when it comes to our own spiritual life. We need to go to the physician of our souls. We need to say, "Lord, I need an honest and earnest self-examination. I need an internal x-ray." And you know what? Every time you go for an x-ray or every time you have to go for some test, it's not a pleasurable experience, is it? It's not something you really look forward to. But there are times in your Christian life, in my Christian life, where we need to definitely take a spiritual inventory. Bring ourselves under the x-ray of the Holy Word of God and ask ourselves, am I living for Him? Do I love Him? Am I growing in Him? And I tell you what, this week as I examined my own heart, I was convicted. When was the last time that you really checked your spiritual pulse to determine just how fervently it was beating? When was the last time you went to the great physician of your soul for a checkup in the light of His holiness? When was the last time that you said and meant it what David said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Self-examination. The reason why it's hard is because it often reveals our imperfections, our priorities. Are you personally growing spiritually? And the only way you can answer a question like that is to measure your answer by what the Word of God says. And again, it's a painful process, but one that I think every one of us here today need. I know I need it. I'm the preacher. I've been preaching for 18 years. I've been saved for 18 years. And I feel right now in my life I need to grow. I need to know more. I need to practice more. I need to be more fervent in prayer, more burdened for souls, more concerned about what pleases God. I confess that publicly. I'm a failure in so many respects. It distresses my heart and convicts me. Romans 8, verse 5 and 6, here's how you answer the question. Are you growing spiritually? Verse 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's what's on their mind. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, if you're saved, you have the Spirit within you. You've got enough sense to know what things of the flesh are and what the things of the Spirit are. Are you spiritual this morning? And you're going to be following and minding and thinking about spiritual things. That's going to occupy your meditations and your thoughts. All right? Let me ask another question. Are you growing in grace? Are you advancing? Are you increasing? Are you abounding in grace? Well, if you're minding the things of the Spirit, something will be produced in your life, displayed and manifested for all to see. In some measure or degree, turn over to Galatians 5. Verse 22. Are we growing? You know what fruit is? It's the evidence of growth, isn't it? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Are you growing? Then these fruits of grace will be hanging from your branches. Then let's ask another question for self-examination. Are you growing more in love with the Savior? Then you'll be careful to please and to honor Him in your walk and strive not to offend Him in any way. Are you more in love with the Lord? Then certainly Psalm 19:14 should be a daily utterance. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Do we love Him? You know, Colossians 1 says this in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here's the questions of examination posed to our hearts this morning. They require an honest evaluation. We can put the dog on outwardly, but God knows the condition of our hearts. I've had to sadly publicly confess to you that I'm not minding the Spirit, the things of the Spirit as I ought. Everybody could say, well, I'm not doing as I ought. But there's a difference when you're convinced of that and you do something about it. Here's another question to determine your spiritual condition this morning. Do you derive most of your delight and satisfaction from God or from this world? What is it that excites you and really moves you the most? David said, more to be desired than fine gold, yea, also sweeter than the honey and honeycomb. He's talking about the Word of God. The desire of his heart was in the things of God. And then here's a final question of self-examination. Are you growing? If so, are you closer to God today than you were when you were first saved? I remember so vividly the zeal, the yearning, the longing, the excitement, the enthusiasm that I had for the things of God. And I realized that as you grow and mature, you don't have as many ups and downs. Things become more level. But shouldn't they be going this way? Shouldn't we yearn for His presence and His power in our lives? Shouldn't our faith be stronger? These are tough questions that every one of us need to be asking if we're truly concerned with this question. Are we growing? Secondly, let me give you some keys that I think will aid in growth and grace. This is not a deep sermon today, but I hope it's one that will cause some deep reflection in you. personally, I know I am not what I ought to be. But in order to be better, we got to implement some things in our lives. First of all, after honest self-examination, you've come to the conclusion that you're not progressing, you're not increasing, you're not growing in grace like you should, and even like you could. Then there first has to be a recognition of your coldness, a confession of your sin, and a genuine willingness to change. See? Until that occurs, there's not going to be any growth. Until after you've come under the X-ray and there's been some things show up, some defections, abnormalities, problems, and the doctor shows them to you. Here they are. This is what needs to be removed. And here's the process that you have to go through until you say, yeah, man, the X-rays, they're positive. They prove that this is something serious. Then you got to act on it. There has to be a willingness to remove from your life those things that you know are hindering your spiritual growth. We don't have time this morning to read the account of Ezra. But it says that when they were confronted with the Word of God and they examined themselves and the law of the Lord was opened and read, it says that they humbled themselves, they wept, they confessed their sin, and then they made a covenant before God that they were going to change the way that they were living and the direction that they were going. You can read it. Ezra chapter 8, Ezra 9, Ezra 10. So the first key is admission. Yes, I need to grow. Number two, there must be a renewed hunger and thirst for the Word of the living God as your daily source of nourishment, of instruction for spiritual health. How is it with you and the Word of the living God? I can quote them for you. That ye may desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. How about it? What if little Hannah Rose would stop drinking milk at this point, juncture in her life? She'd get pretty weak, wouldn't she? How is it with you in the Word of God? Is it part of your daily life? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you meditate upon it? What is it that's coming before you in the Word of God? Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. David said, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Exhortation after exhortation. Here's a key to growth. You've got to eat. You've got to drink.
of the Word of God. Is it part of your life? I challenge you, like I do every year right around December. Are you going to read the Bible through this year? Have you as a believer ever read the Bible through? If you read just 3 chapters a day, you can read the whole Bible through in 1 year. It doesn't take long to read 3 chapters a day. Probably about as long as it would take you to read a sports page or an article out of, Fish and Stream or Hunter's World. Probably as long as it'd take you to go to, you ladies, to go look at shoes. Well, probably take you longer than that to look at shoes. Isn't it funny about women? They go into a shoe store, they even look at shoes that don't fit them. You ever seen that? I never have understood that, but that's just the difference, I guess, in men and women. But there has to be a renewed hunger if you're going to grow. And then you need to return, thirdly, to your practice of earnest, personal prayer, devotion, worship, and meditation. Personally, not just publicly. There needs to be a time in our day when we spend quietly with God alone, apart from the world, from the television, from the newspaper, from friends, from family, and you deal directly with God alone. Are you doing that? Fourthly, a sincere desire to govern and regulate your life by one standard only: to glorify and honor God. Say, brother, these are high standards. Yeah, but if we're going to grow, we need to get back to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says this: whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever therefore ye do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3 verses 15 and 16, or verse 16 and 17, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father by Him. There's our standard. And then fifthly, here's another key to growth. Don't be satisfied with your present attainments. Don't be satisfied with mediocrity, with the status quo, and stop measuring yourself by others. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. I don't know about you, but every time I read this chapter, it bothers me that I know honestly this kind of urgency is not in my Christian life. Listen to what he says. In verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wasn't satisfied with his present condition. He wanted to grow. And then quickly, I'm going to give you some marks where you can tell when you're growing in grace somewhat. Number one, there's going to be a greater sense of your own unworthiness before God and more of humility. I guarantee you start growing in grace, you're not going to be so quick to point out all the faults of others. Your eyes are not going to be focused so much on what everybody else is doing. But as you draw closer to God, you're going to realize just how unworthy you are of the least of His mercies. And it'll cause you to be humble before God. We all got too much pride. We all think too highly of ourselves. But when you're growing in grace, you'll be saying, you know, you listen to what Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" When he wrote his final epistle, you know what his estimation of himself was? That he was the chief of sinners. Humility. Number two, there's going to be a greater hatred for sin in all of its forms and a desire to overcome temptation. Things, you're going to start looking at things differently when you're growing. You're going to recognize what sin is and how harmful it is to your life. And you're going to find yourself praying like David did in Psalm 19. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Do you hate sin? It's a mark of growing in grace. But if you allow it in your mind, in with your eyes, in your heart, in your affections, and you can just slough it off and not be convicted, you're not growing. And I'm going to tell you something else. There'll be a marked increase in joy and happiness as you serve the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You know, I've met people who could tell me so many Bible facts. They were a virtual Bible encyclopedia. But they never had any joy. You know what? When you're doing right, and you're growing and abounding, I think your heart's going to be more cheerful. It'll show on your countenance that God's doing a work in you. And I think there'll also be an increased zeal and diligence in seeking the good of others by witnessing to the lost. See, the more you're concerned about the things of God, the more burdened you're going to be for the souls of other people, hoping and praying that God will save them. And it'll also give you a desire to be a blessing to other children of God. And then I tell you the last thing. Are you growing? Then you're going to be obedient. Psalm 119:4, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. In order to grow, you got to obey. In order to obey, you got to grow in knowledge. How are you going to obey what you don't know? First John 2, and I'll close with this. Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Where's your... It just boils down to this, man. If we're growing, then the commandments of God are going to be a priority over everything else in our lives. And I hope and pray that this is a defining moment for every one of us. If you've needed this message, that you'll desire to grow and not be satisfied. Now, I don't want to be a church where we just come together out of social obligation and there's no power behind our profession, where we just sit in the pews, where I just preach a message routinely and we just go through the motions. I want us to be challenged. I want us to have an urgency in our lives where we want to excel in our Christian walk, to live for Him with zeal and fervency and love and power. And I know I need that today. As your pastor, pray for me. I want to increase. I want to abound in the work of the Lord. I want to grow. I don't want to be stagnant. Are you growing? You've got to examine yourself. You got to implement those keys. And then see whether or not those marks and evidences are in your life.